Chapter 1. Meet the Women of Washington, 1848 to 1856. Church bells chimed their wake-up call for the capital city just at first light. From the Navy Yard and the Arsenal, sunrise salutes signaled an historic day ahead for tens of thousands of expectant tourists, not only from the immediate vicinity and adjacent cities, but from opposite and distant parts of the Union. They had crowded into town on special trains ordered up for the momentous occasion, the National Intelligencer excitedly reported, and bright sunlight greeted them after a day of drenching rain. It was July 4, 1848, and the gawkers just might get a glimpse not only of President James Knox Polk and other high-ranking officials, but of those two great relics of the founding age, Elizabeth Hamilton and Dolly Madison. The wives of America's first fierce partisans would come together in seats of honor to preside over the laying of the cornerstone of a monument to the man their husbands both served, George Washington. Getting to this day was no easy matter. Ever since Washington's death almost half a century earlier, there had been proposals in Congress to erect a fitting shrine to the father of the country. In fact, even earlier than that, back in 1783, before the Constitution was written creating the presidency, before a capital had been chosen, Congress resolved to honor General Washington with a statue at the place where the residence of Congress shall be established. But so far, all attempts at redeeming that pledge had failed. The organizers could never raise enough money or interest. This time was going to be different. Public solicitations, plus the formation of an organization of ladies to aid in collecting funds, headed by Mrs. James Madison, Mrs. John Quincy Adams, and Mrs. Alexander Hamilton, had collected about $87,000 and created enough momentum to choose a site for a marble cornerstone weighing 24,500 pounds. The Speaker of the House delivered the oration and alluded to the Grand Dame, Hamilton and Madison, touchingly and eloquently. The distinguished dowagers had been present at the creation of the country. Seeing them there and hearing tributes to the foremost founding father conjured up for the crowd happier days, an era when the United States shared a common cause, an independent America. A useful reminder at a time when the nation was threatening to break apart over the increasingly contentious issue of slavery. The recent military victory over Mexico, with its vast new territory added to the country, led to an upset in the balance between slave states and free, and raised the specter of the South's peculiar institution spreading as far as California and the Pacific. But on this Independence Day, the Intelligencer opined, the parades and pyrotechnics showed that in these already dubious days of the Republic, a spirit remained that could again be raised into national strength and unity. From the beginning, that unity had been challenged by regionalism and partisanship. But for almost 50 years, ever since a sorry little village on the Potomac River had been established as the nation's capital, one person, Dolly Madison, could be counted on year in and year out to bring the factions together to put aside, at least temporarily, the rancor. The July 4th ceremony marked a rare public appearance for the 90-year-old Eliza Hamilton, but not so the 80-year-old Dolly Madison. She had stayed on the public stage as a figure of enormous influence throughout the decades, but this event would be one of the last public acts of the former First Lady, who had done so much to calm quarreling politicians. It would have been hard to imagine on that day in 1848 that Dolly Madison would be dead in a little more than a year, and that the laying of the cornerstone of the Washington Monument would mark the last truly unified moment for the country. In 1801, the young and beautiful Mrs. Madison had blown into the muddy, miserable town newly designated as the seat of government as the effervescent wife of the Secretary of State. She played hostess to hundreds, maybe thousands, through James Madison's 8 years in the Jefferson administration and then 8 years of his own presidency. Already liked by all, Henry Clay once gushed, "Everybody loves Mrs. Madison." the First Lady rose to the level of national heroine during the War of 1812 when she refused to leave the White House as the British approached. She insisted on waiting until the large picture of General Washington is secured before fleeing the invasion. With her return to the burned-out ruins a few days later, she took up the cause of securing Washington's place as the capital city, despite its near destruction.